I don't do very good with the planning part because I never know where the Holy Ghost is going. And I refuse, and if you knew me from about 5-10 years ago, I like everything just in order. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I don't know what time of day it is. I'm so confused right now. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Well, if you're in another part of the country, good morning. Another part, good afternoon. And here, good evening. See, there you go. Cover all the bases. And a shout out to Morgan, our dear sister that's at home. We love you. We miss you. We're praying for your whole household to be healed in Jesus' name. So, you know, I used to like have everything planned. And then the Holy Ghost comes and he just messes you up. He says, forget that. So thankfully we have a great team that's filled with the Holy Ghost and they know how he works. And so we just, whatever the Holy Ghost says, does. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning the other morning and the Lord said, this song needs to be on the list and we haven't even got to it yet. So I don't even know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. So that's the great thing. He shows me things. He just doesn't tell me the order of what they're going to be in. So praise God. Then I have this whole message that I rewrote 3 times. And then I was sitting up here praying before y'all got here and I got 3 more pages of something else. So there you go. But that's the thing. You have to make a decision. Do you want it to go your way or do you want to trust the Lord and let it go his way? Your decision. But you also have to take time to press in to ask him, what is it that you want? You have to ask that question. Lord, what do you want me to do with my children? How do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to handle that? Because, you know, I could preach to the masses of everybody that's watching, but I'm talking to you women right now. And the Lord said to me to remind you that you are a woman. You were created special. You were created for a purpose, and you were designed to stand. That's what the Lord really gave me the message of tonight. It's time to stand. You were designed to stand. Not stand for women's rights and liberal stuff or whatever else, or stand for this. No, stand for the Word of God, because you have a purpose for the next generation. Women were created for a purpose. Forget about what the world is saying. You are a woman. He created you as a woman, and you have a purpose. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I think, maybe. So the thing I do know is that he says it's time to stand and not back down. We are living in a world, even with other Christians, telling us, you're a little much. You don't need to do all that. You don't need to say this. If it's the Word of God, yes, you do. You're standing on the truth. And we're standing on the truth for the generations to come. We're standing on the truth for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Because we are standing on God's word and what his truth is. And you're like, well, I'm not a parent yet. It doesn't matter. You have a generation that's going to be birthed out of you. And you're standing for them. You're standing for your generation, you young girls that don't have families yet. You're standing for your generation. For you to say, enough is enough. This is not truth. I will stand for truth because there's people and there's women that are lost and they're dying because they don't understand who they are. But as you young girls stand for the truth and you say, this is who God created us to be, you show them their purpose in Christ, you watch a generation change. You watch a generation get set free. Amen? There is a war being waged for your children, your marriage, and your identity. If you don't know there's a war waging for your identity, look up, I think it was John Hopkins posted that a woman is a, I can't even remember what it said because my mind was totally blown. Even doctors can't explain what a woman is. What is wrong with our society? They've believed a lie. You can't change it, just by the way. This is what I'm talking about standing. This is going on YouTube, Facebook. You're like, well, we don't have a lot of followers. Well, when we speak out against things, we might get a lot of followers. Who knows? They might change it. Here's the deal. God created male and female. Period. End of story. Here's the other thing. It says, he knew you before you were knitted in your mother's womb. So he doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't make a mistake. If you were born a woman, you're a woman. If you're born a boy, you're a boy. That's how it is. He doesn't make a mistake. The enemy comes and lies to you. And what happens when the enemy lies to you? It causes confusion and chaos because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it is. But if you know that God created you, you don't get to say, this isn't who I'm supposed to be, because God created you to be that. God created you to be a woman. But the enemy wants to steal your identity, because if there's no right or wrong, there's no male or female, there's total chaos. And that's what we're going to talk. So this is the thing about standing. There's a lot of people that don't want to stand on that. Well, you do you. You're giving them a lie. That's not even love, to give somebody a lie. These people that are like, my children are going to do what they're going to do. No, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. You are supposed to direct your child. You are supposed to give them rules. That is what you're called to do, because it says train up a child in the way they shall go, and they shall not depart from it. Is it always fun? No. My children are here, you know, one, I'm not going to tell stories of my kids, but no, it's not fun all the time. But let me tell you, moms of little ones, you will see the fruit of all that hard work. You will see that fruit. In the middle of it, it's hard. Trust me, I know, but you will see the fruit. And even as they get older, you'll see the fruit too. And then you'll see it in your grandchildren. But you have to make a decision to stand even when you're tired. Even when you don't feel like it, you still stand. Because you're like, it's not because you love your children, by the way. You love your children, I get it. I love my children too. I've never said I want my children to be apart from me. I love my children. I dedicated my children to the Lord when they were very young, though. I have an assignment. That's why I'm going to stand. Because I have an assignment. Because as much as I love my children and I love my husband, I love the Lord my God even more. And my assignment is to train these children up to serve him and to live for him and to fulfill the call that he has on their life. They're not really mine. They're not mine. I'm so thankful he entrusted them to me, and I love them dearly. But my assignment, and see, when you start to like want to control things about them, you've forgotten what your assignment was. Your assignment was to train them up. Your assignment was, the Lord said, I'm entrusting them to you. But when you dedicated them to the Lord, you gave them back to him. You said, okay, Lord, I will train them up. So then you got to trust his plan. Listen, my kids say things to me all the time. I won't go into things. I'm like trying not to tell on my kids. Because you know why I don't want to tell on my kids? Because I don't uncover them. They tell me things that the Lord speaks to them, but that doesn't necessarily mean everybody else needs to hear it. But I'll say this. My children say things to me sometimes, and I'm like, no, uh-uh. And I'm like, do my children hear from the Lord? Yes, they do. And even if they missed it, they're going to figure it out, and I'd much rather them be with me when they miss it, and I can pray with them, because I missed it too. But they challenge me with the things they tell me, and I have to go, okay. You know, if it's not scriptural, fine. Then you're like, if they're like, whatever, I can't think of something. But if it's unscriptural, you don't go with it, obviously. But they will challenge you, because you're raising up these little children of faith, and you're standing when it's hard to stand, and nobody understands what you're doing, because if you're around people that aren't believers or they're not sold out to the Lord, they're not going to understand. But you're standing to raise these children and say, Lord, whatever you're calling them to do, whatever you're telling them to do, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to support it. But you have to stand in that place. I'm mom. I'm going to stand in this place. So right now, when you're standing for what a male and a female is, you're standing for your generation. You're standing for your children. You're standing for your grandchildren. You're standing for truth. And that will trickle down into all the generations after you. See, what you stand for today, your generations from now will stand for too. My grandmother read stories to us every time I was there. Who's serving the Lord? Me. Why? Because my grandmother read me tons of stories. I didn't want to read the stories. She knew I was irritated and didn't want to read the stories. So sorry if she's listening right now. But we read Bible stories every time I was there. All of us grandkids did. And I believe in the seed she planted in my cousins. That's going to come to fruition someday. But let me tell you, Christmas, Easter, everybody in our family is at church because of what my grandmother did. Every meal, everybody's praying because of what my grandmother did. And it talks about that in Timothy, about Eunice and the faith that was passed down. What you're doing now by standing may seem hard, but you're going to see the lasting effects. A lot of times we get tired and we're like, I just want to lay down and die. And I was thinking about the widow with Elijah. She was baking a cake. She was dying. And a man of God came and he said, bake me a cake. And it changed her life. She was ready for her and her son to die. And I know women that have been in places where they're ready to die. They're ready to give up. But I'm telling you right now, the Lord is saying, no, absolutely no. What is it that you need to stand for? It's not just standing for your children. I'm talking about standing for your marriage, standing for your walk with the Lord, standing for the call that God has on your life. Because maybe you can't see it all right now. And you're like, I just want to give up. I've been there. If you want to know the honest truth, I've been there. I've been there because you have pain so bad, you want to give up. Been there. But you know what I started doing? I started standing on the word. No, infirmity has no right to my body, so I'm going to stand. What am I standing on? I'm not standing on how I feel, because I can tell you honestly. I think I've said it more than once. I've told Pastor David, just let me die right now. That's how much pain I was in. Just let me die. And as soon as I said it, I'm like, that's just ridiculous. But I could not think clearly. So I had to have a husband that would pray over me, rebuke that thing, rebuke that pain. And then I had to make a decision. This spirit of infirmity, no more. And I'm going to tell you something. When I was healed from lupus, that is when I knew how bad it had been. Because once all the pain leaves your body, you don't realize how bad it was until you walk completely free. And now when things try to come back, I said, There is no way that spirit of infirmity is attacking me again. Because I lived there, I went through that hell, and I'm never going back. Because I stand on the word. And the word says that sickness has no right to my body. You might think, well, I don't have anything as bad as lupus or whatever. It doesn't matter. No sickness has a right to your body, so you need to stand. This is something we have to stand on. I'm not telling you to just stand against all the things in the world. I'm telling you to stand for what God has promised you. So God has promised you perfect health. So no spirit of infirmity is ever going to touch me again. It's not going to happen. When you get delivered from addiction, you're like, I'm never going back to that. I'm never going back. When you get delivered from a spirit of lack, I'm never going back because it has no right to me. So what are you standing on? You're standing on the promises of God. The enemy wants to wear you out. The enemy wants you to give up. But you have to make a decision right now. If my marriage is not great, I can choose to check out. You can check out emotionally. People always think like a marriage, it just means you left. You can check out of your marriage emotionally. 100% you can do it. So then you have to make a decision. Where am I going to stand? Am I going to stand on the word of God that says I'm one flesh and I'm going to fight for my marriage? Or I'm going to say, it doesn't really matter. I'm telling you, woman of God, if you decide it doesn't really matter, you're not standing on God's promises. You believed a lie from the enemy. The enemy has three tactics. And they're nothing new. He has temptation, accusations, and deception. That's what he does. So if he can deceive you into believing a part truth, well, if I just check out emotionally, I haven't left, I haven't cheated. Yeah, but you're not one flesh. You've decided to close part of yourself off. So that's the deception. Same with your healing. Well, it's not that bad. It's just a headache. No, that headache has no right to my body in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. This is a participation evening. So anytime you want to shout, clap, don't clap for me, clap for the word. Clap, sing, shout, whatever you need to do. But like, thank you. I'm going to get you all saying amen and shouting. Come on. It's interactive. It's an interactive sermon. Thank you, silent person back there. I'm sorry, invisible person back there. You are not, I said to the Lord, what is it that you want? Because all he said to me was, tell them to stand. He said, tell them that they were designed to stand. He designed you that way. This whole religion junk about women being quiet and all that stuff, first of all, study that out because that's not even what it means. Second of all, God called many women in the Bible to stand and serve the Lord. Think about Deborah. I was reading about Deborah, and I was like, man, the king came to her. The warriors came to her for her to go into battle. He said, I'm not going if you don't go. She said, well, you ain't getting any of the glory then. He said, all right, I don't care. I just want you to come. That's like my version of the story. You can read it for yourself in Judges 4. But my point is that, thank you, I like it. So I was reading it. That's how I read it, just saying. I was like, go ahead, Deborah. She told him, and he listened, and they won the battle. So this whole thing about women, then read about the daughters in, David, what was I reading today? What was the name of those daughters? Anyway, they went to Moses. I can't say a lot of those names. They went to Moses, and they said, our father died. We have no brothers. Our inheritance shouldn't be left to our father's brothers. And the Lord said to Moses, they're right. They didn't go and be rude. They went and stood up. And Moses, and the Lord said to Moses, they are correct. You do need to make it right. And Moses made it right, and they got their inheritance. That was in the Old Testament. Please, people, come on. You are not meant to be a silent bystander. This whole thing about being meek and mild and like not speaking up, your husband doesn't even want that. Your husband wants you to speak up. You're called to be his helpmate. You're called to... Yeah. Nobody can see Pastor David back there. Do you always want me to speak up like I do, or are you just saying? No, they want you, yes, yes, dear. They want you to speak up. Because here's the deal. You have a passion. Do you know what I speak up the most for? As soon as I speak up for anything that's not for the Lord, man, I get a catch in my flesh so quick, and I'm not my flesh, in my spirit, and I'm like, darn, that was my flesh. But I'm going to tell you, when I get a holy anger and I'm standing for the Word of God, I just got fire. And you need to be fired up for the Lord. How are you fired up for the Lord? You know the truth. You buy it and you sell it not, the truth. It's so deep on the inside of you. So the whole thing about the male and female, you don't want to know why I'm so fired up? Because it's not true. It's all lies. It goes against what my daddy said. It goes against what my daddy created. Here's the deal. We're ambassadors for Christ. I'm going to tell you something. I came from a family business on the Eastern Shore, and you want to know the first person to speak up about our business and how good it was? Me, because that's my dad. That's my dad, and he was great. Why wouldn't I be speaking up for my Heavenly Father? Why would I let someone speak a lie? If someone speaks a lie about my family or any of y'all, because you're all my church family and you're my kingdom family, you better look out, because I don't do well with that at all. I will be nice, but I will set people straight. Why would I let anybody speak against the kingdom of God? Why would you let anybody speak against the kingdom of God? Why? Why would you let someone tell a lie about the kingdom of God? It's just not true. The whole thing about we're not loving because we speak out against these things. I love transgenders. I love homosexuals. I love people that are confused about their gender. What I don't love is their confusion. What I won't do is change the truth. They can't change the truth. What the word says is what the word says. And God loves them too. But it doesn't negate the fact that sin is sin. That's just it. Period. End of story. But we love everybody. We're friendly to people. But we know what the truth is. And what does it say? Those that know the truth shall be set free. The truth will set you free. So if the truth will set you free, then lies will bind you. Come on now. If the truth will set you free, then lies will bind you. So if you allow people to walk in lies. Go ahead, girl. That's what I'm saying. You should be like that. That's freedom right there. See, that's the thing. When you feel it in your spirit, you're like, man, what she's preaching is good. You should be shouting. You can shout. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying you can shout. I'm saying I can't help but shout because I'm like, yes, this is truth. Yes, this is what the Word of God says. Yes. So when you allow people to believe lies, you're allowing them to be bound. Now, if you start looking at it that way, what are you going to do about it? Same with soul winning. You don't want a soul win? You don't want to see people set free? You don't want to see people come to know Jesus? We should be rejoicing. All of heaven rejoices over one person being saved. Come on. I would be rejoicing over just one person. If you were the only, we tell this all the time. If you're the only person, God would have came for you. Why aren't we rejoicing when we see all these people getting saved? We should be rejoicing over that. What lie are we believing? That we can't go do it? So we have to stand on the truth. And I'm not going to let anybody tell lies about what the Word of God says. They're rewriting the Bible right now, by the way. There are people that are rewriting the Bible to make it more palatable for the gay and lesbian community. I actually just heard this the other day. I was like, wait, what? I just saw a minister on the TV say, drag is holy. Right? Yes. Yes. From the pulpit. Drag is holy. Yes. That's all lies. So what are we going to do? Are we just going to sit and let that be portrayed to a generation that doesn't know any better? Or are we going to go out and we're going to give the truth so that people get set free, that they don't get bound? Come on, you got to make a decision to stand. The Bible says in the end times to be alert, to be aware. So you should be being aware right now. The Lord said to me, the time to run is now. The time is now. Where you have felt like giving up, don't. Whether it's your faith, whether it's your marriage, whether it's being a mom, whether it's being a friend, wherever, a business owner, whatever you have felt like giving up on a dream that the Lord has given you, don't give up. Now is the time to press in. Now is the time to run. It's not time to sit down and die. It's not time to lock yourself in your room. It's time to run. It's time to go shout on the mountaintops, man. Be ready to give an answer. It's time for you to go to the next level. But I'm going to tell you, to go to the next level, you can't do things the way you've always done them. And if you think I'm just preaching this to you, I'm preaching it to myself. Because the Lord has been working on me for the past couple weeks about it. You can't expect to be getting the same thing to the level you're going to. This next level is going to require you to press in a whole new way. This next level you're going to is going to require more of you. See, we become complacent. We're standing, but we're kind of standing like this. We're not standing super alert and ready. We're not standing in our run pose, ready to go. We're standing kind of relaxed and ready to fall over. But the Lord is saying, stand. Stand and be ready. Stand and be ready to run. Stand and be ready to press in like you've never been done before. And as you press in like you've never done before, you're going to see things that you've never seen before. I'm telling you, you're going to be refreshed, you're going to be filled, but it's hard. It is hard. Think about when you go to exercise, right? The first couple times you're like, yay! And then the next time you're like, oh. But when do you start seeing the results? After the first day? Second day? I wish. How many of y'all eat a salad for like 2 days and then you're like, I'm weighing myself, it's going to be great. You're like, no, it didn't change anything. Right? 2 days doesn't work. So it's the same with working out. When you work out, how long does it take for your muscles to produce? It's a consistency. It's a consistency to go, to press in, to get up and go lift those weights when you don't want to. Yeah? I don't do it either. I'm just saying. I think that's how it works. I don't really know. But it's the same with the Lord. It's about consistency and being steady. And the Holy Spirit will cause you to be steady. I was reading that about Peter. Peter became steady once he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter was a little nutso before then, you know. I'm like, sometimes you ever look at the disciples and you're like, well, at least I didn't like cut somebody's ear off. I mean, I guess I'm doing okay. Or steal somebody's wife like King David. I don't know, you know. Whew, it's okay to laugh. It's good. So you can't be going doing the same thing. And you can't do it by the world standards. It's not by the world standards that you're going to get what the Lord is taking you to the next level. It's not about like, I got to have this degree and I got to do this. I was reading a study that said that the Fortune 500, the top CEOs in our country right now, only 10% even went to an Ivy League school. Now, if you would have asked anybody that, they would have been like, oh, yeah, everybody, like 50% probably went to an Ivy League. No, some of them went to community college. Most of them don't even have MBAs. Do you know why? How'd they end up with these on the Fortune 500 and the CEOs of these big companies? Because they had skills. They pressed in. They did what they had to do to get to where they're going. It didn't hold them back what degree they had. Well, here's the great thing. You already have everything you have need of. All you have to do is press in. You don't have to have this, yes, I won't say that. All you have to do is press in because God is about your heart. He's not about how many degrees you have on the wall. He's not about how many places you've gone to get whatever you've gone to get. All he says is all you got to do is press in and he's going to meet you right where he's at. So he has the plan for you to go to the next level. Are you willing to surrender what you think to get there? Are you willing to walk by faith and not by sight? Are you willing to not look at your bank account like, I don't know how that's going to work? Are you willing to not look at what you have on your education status? Are you willing to not look at any of that and say, Lord, you've called me to this and I'm going to walk in it. Show me the next step. Because it might not come the way you think it should come. The hardest people for this is people like me. Yeah, they have a business mind. So I think I know how it all should work out. But that's not necessarily how God... If you would have told me how we got here in a barn, this is not what the plan was, but God. So when Pastor David comes to me and says, we should buy a tent, I'm like, you crazy. You crazy. He said, we're going to spend this amount of money and we're going to buy a tent. And I was like, what? And then I was like, you know what? I definitely am not thinking that, but I know the Lord speaks to him. That's what we're going to do. And praise God we did. Because it wasn't in the business plan. It didn't work out. It wasn't going to work out. But it was exactly what the Lord wanted us to do. So you have to surrender. And then you have to stand on the truth. My husband hears from the Lord. I'm going with it. You have to stand on the word that God knows what he's doing. Amen? And it doesn't look like what you think it's going to look like. Think about Abraham when he went to sacrifice Isaac. I think about that all the time. Because I think, whoo. But you know what? Abraham knew Isaac was coming back with him. That's what people miss. They're like, how could he do that? Because he knew his God. He was like, Lord, whatever. I firmly believe that Abraham knew that if God hadn't provided a sacrifice, God would have raised Isaac from the dead. Either way. Because God promised him nations and promised him this son. He's not going to take it away. So if God has spoken something to you and you're like, I just can't see it. Where's your faith? Is your faith in you and the plan you can see, or is your faith in what God has spoken? Because I'm telling you, that's when the suddenlies happen. That last final breakthrough, and you will see it as God has promised. But you've got to make a decision. You're not moved by what you're seeing, what you're not seeing. You're saying, Lord, this is what you spoke to me. You're going to bring it to pass. See, that's a place of standing. That's a place of standing. Lord, you spoke this to me. He told us that this church is a church of generations. I'm standing on it. Everything I do is like, how's this affect the generations that are to come? I don't plan on being the senior pastor with Pastor David forever. There's other people coming that are going to lead it. This isn't just a Pastor David and Pastor Lacey church. No, this is a kingdom church, and it will shake this area, and it will affect generations. So everything I think of, how is this going to look for generations? I don't look at it like, oh, we're just a small community church either. I got news for you. It was prophesied over us that we were going to have planes coming in and going out. So, dude, I'm looking for the land that has like an airstrip, because that's what I'm expecting in Jesus' name. We are a destination church. Everybody else is looking like, what in the world does she say? But I know what the Lord spoke. So that's what I'm going with. That's what I'm going with. And so everything I do is focused on that word that the Lord has given to me. The Lord told me to homeschool my children. The Lord told me that when we gave up everything to go into the ministry, he said, I will take care of your children. And I'm telling you, my children are blessed. My children receive more than I receive. They have more than I have. They've had everything taken care of. I'm believing my daughter's college is going to be debt-free. She will be debt-free, but I'm believing for other sources to pay for her college. But I know what the Lord promised. So I don't look at what's going on. I'm like, sometimes I say to the Lord, hey, you told me as I served you, you're going to take care of my children. I remind him of his promises because he spoke that to me. And I did what he said to do. But I don't get moved by other things. Will my children have been sick? Nope. That has no place on my children. You have to stand on the word. You have to make a decision to stand. Not be moved by your feelings. Not by moved by what your family says about you. You were meant to be courageous. You can see things through the eyes of faith, and you will be courageous. I have quoted a lot of scripture, even though I haven't said what the scriptures are, but hopefully you've picked up on them. But I will take you to a scripture. You know, that would probably be good. So let's just go here real quick. In Proverbs 31:30, I want you to see this. It says, charm, I think it says that up there too. Yeah, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman who fears the Lord. You can look and you can be the prettiest person out there. You can be so charming, but that is all going to pass away. But the fear of the Lord, that is what will stand. And in 1 John 2:15, let's just go there because, because I want to. No, because I already have it on here. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. One of the areas that causes you to not be able to stand is your love for the world. Your love for wanting to please people, make everything right. But it says, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Standing on the fact that you're going to do the will of God because you will abide forever. It says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they may be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you... This is the part I wanted to get to. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Everything you have need of, you already have. Here's what I need. You're like, I don't have the answers. If you have the truth, that's all you need. The Bible says even when you're brought up amongst other people, that you will have just wait for the Holy Spirit to give you the answer. You have all that you have need of, and you know all that you have need of. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? How many people say, you believe what you want to believe? It's a lie. There's many ways to heaven. Okay, I think even the Pope said that not too long ago. That's a problem, because there's only one way. His name is Jesus. So anyone that denies that Jesus is the Christ is a liar. Plain and simple, that's truth. Now, you might not want to walk up to somebody and be like, oh, you are such a liar. You can say that statement is a lie, but, you know, you handle it the way you need to. He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised, eternal life. Amen? Well, I want to go to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as he taught you, you will abide in him. So, the anointing, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. When you read your word, you should have an expectancy. Lord, give me revelation. How many times have you read the scripture and you go back and you read it again and you're like, whoa, that just like came alive to me. That's called rhema. It comes alive to you. You could read the same scripture. People are like, well, I've read the Bible through the whole way through. Well, good for you. Do it again. Because God has more revelation for you. You've never fully arrived. My uncle used to say this every few years, because I'm a highlighter and a note taker and all in my Bible, and he would say you should buy a new Bible every like 4 or 5 years. And I'm like, but I like my Bible. He said, that's the point. You tend to go to the same scriptures. Now, I will tell you, I buy the same exact Bible because I love that Bible. But when it doesn't have highlights in it, you really do. You tend to see other things. You're not focused on the same thing. It's a really good rule. But it just helps you even see more. So let's think about Caleb and Joshua. We were talking about being courageous. I wanted you to see that because the anointing is in you and on you, and you know all truth and you walk in truth. So when condemnation starts to come, say, no, I know the truth. I have the word of God implanted on the inside of me. Because people will try to deceive you to make you think that you don't know something. They're being used by the enemy. They're not the enemy. We don't war against flesh and blood. But you have to make a decision. You're not falling for that trap. You know what you know. And I was thinking about Caleb and Joshua and talking about standing. 12 spies went in. 10 spies came out with not a good report. 2 spies came back with a good report. And all hell broke loose in the camp. Literally, you can read about it. It went crazy because they all were like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. But what did Caleb and Joshua do? It says in verse 6, Numbers 14:6, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of, blah, 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 I don't know how to say that, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. They were so distraught because people were going nuts about it. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. It's a great land. They didn't see the giants like the other ones. The other ones came back and said, there's giants in the land. They're going to eat us. We're going to be their bread. But he said, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Who's going to give it to him? The Lord. It wasn't them. It was the Lord. He knew who his God was. He says, he will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. Read all through the Old Testament how people turned their backs on God and how he left them. That's what's happened in this nation. People have turned their backs on God. And Caleb is saying, do not rebel against the Lord. I'm telling you right now, we need to be preaching that. Do not rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people in the land. These people in this land can do nothing to you because you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. You are daughters of the Most High King. You have covenant with him, and he is watching over you. So you shouldn't be fearing man. There's nothing to fear. You should say, I see that promised land. I see what the Lord has shown me. I don't care if the people around you can't see it. It doesn't matter if they can't see it. You have to stand firm like Caleb and Joshua. They stood firm and said, I know what I see. I know I see a land that will be delivered to us because I know who our God is. Sometimes you're going to be the only one standing in the midst of people that you thought were going to stand with you. Doesn't matter. When you stand before the King of Kings, what are you going to say? Well, they didn't believe me, so I just backed down. Nope, not going to fly. At least I'm not going to say that. Y'all think I'm crazy? I thought Pastor Dave was crazy about the tent, but he stood. He said, I know what the Lord spoke to me. Okay, great, we'll get on board. So what is the Lord speaking to you? Somebody's going to get on board with you because you're around too many people full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And here's the other thing. If someone else comes to you and says, this is what the Lord spoke to me, and you're like, you crazy? But I know you hear from the Lord, so all right. You know, my son said to me, Sorry, Mason, he doesn't watch this, so it's okay. He said, Mom, when I bring a girl home someday, you get a catch about her, she gone, because I know you hear from the Lord. He told me that. Now, I will not use that in a bad way. I'm just saying, he did tell me that. But we should feel that way. You got a catch about somebody, I'm going to listen to what you say. You're telling me you got a plan and the Lord's telling you to do something? Sounds crazy? I'm going to help you because you're crazy and I'm crazy with you. It's okay. We're good. Because we're crazy for the Lord. Right? Now you tell me that you're supposed to leave your husband. Yeah, I'm not standing with you for that one because it doesn't line up with the Word of God. Okay? All right. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. Do not rebel against the Lord nor feed the people of the land, for they are our bread. They are there for us to take out. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Is the Lord with you? Then he's going to protect you. He's going to bring you through. Why are you letting someone else make you think that the Lord's not with you? Why are you believing that lie? Don't believe that lie. Do not fear them. And all the congregation, guess what? They didn't jump up and say hallelujah. It says all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of God appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. The Lord didn't appear because they said to stone him. The Lord appeared to protect them. And the Lord appeared because what they spoke was truth. So you can be around a lot of people that are ready to stone you and call you crazy. But the Lord is like, uh-uh. They're standing for the truth. Amen? Amen. Let's talk about Esther. I'm talking about standing. No matter what the cost is. If you don't know the story of Esther, you should read it. It's a very good story. Why am I on the wrong thing? There we go. But Esther was brought forth to the king, and she became one of the wise. And there was a decree that went out that all the Jews were to be killed. Well, no one in the palace knew that Esther was a Jew, except her uncle. And her uncle sent her something and said, listen, they're going to kill all of us. And she was like, I don't know what you want me to do. I can't do anything. So let's read about it. In Esther 4:11, it says, all the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called has but one law, put all to death. And what was happening is for her to go before the king, she was going to die because she can't go before the king. It says, all to death except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. She's like, I haven't been summoned. I can't go. I'm going to die. And you know what he says to her in verse 13? And Mordecai told them to answer and said, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. I'm telling you right now, if you decide to stay silent, don't think there won't be consequences to the next generation. Don't think that things aren't going to happen. If you stay silent, don't think that you won't be affected. Your children are going to be affected. Your children's children are going to be affected. And you'll be like, I wish somebody would have stood. But what about you? It's not for someone else to do. It's for you to do. It's for you. And he said, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? How many of y'all have said, I was born in the wrong decade? I've said it. I'm like, man, I'd love to live in like the 1950s. All their clothes were so cute. Yeah, I think about things like that. Can't help it. Like the appliances, maybe not so cute. And then I read that. Maybe you were born for such a time as this. Remember what we talked about earlier about male and female and God doesn't make a mistake? He didn't make a mistake about the time you were born in either. You were born for such a time as this. And it wasn't to just sit around and just be, eh. It was to be courageous and bold. And it was to stand out and to change the generations. That's what you were called to do. Doesn't matter your age. You were called to do that because you were designed for such a time as this. People that are like, man, I wish my kids weren't living in this time. Don't say that because they were created for such a time as this. God has a purpose for them. That he knows there's an army rising up. You're in the army. I was thinking about this too. To be in the army, you got to decide to fight. You don't get to go out and play like in the in the forest and find, like, you know, the daisies and stuff, man. You got to be, like, there ready to go in battle. So when the front line gets done, the next line comes up. That's how they do it in the battle, I think. I don't really know. I'm not, like, a war person, but that's my guess. I think it's, like, on Narnia it looks like that, so I'm assuming maybe that's, like, what the rest of them are. So, you know. Hey, I'm just being real with you. I'm not a... I couldn't even figure out poor Tommy with the academy. And the, yeah, Narnia. They say first row, then the second row goes, and everybody gets tired. Yeah. But if you're all, like, picking daisies, and they're like, where are you? You know, this is the whole thing about each of you has a purpose in the body of Christ. When you're missing from church, when you're missing from events, when you're missing from things, man, everybody's like, parts of us are missing because we're all part of the body. You know, we're called to be the body. So when you're on your A game, it affects the whole kingdom. It affects the whole kingdom. But if you're out, like, lollygagging and taking a nap under the tree, and we're looking for you because you're like, whatever your assignment is, there's a void there. If you're the warrior that's carrying the sword, going forward on the front lines, or you're the prayer warrior in the back praying over people, you're the water person bringing water and nourishment to them, and you're not there, somebody's going to die because we're all part of the body. So what is your part? And you don't need to be like everybody else. If you're not the warrior on the front row, my daughter used to say to us, why do we always have to be out front doing nothing that nobody, everything nobody else is doing? And I'm like, because that's what God called us to do. Well, I am not going to be that way. Guess where she gets to stand every Sunday morning? Right up there on the worship team. Just saying. But I remember her saying that to us. She would cry. She doesn't want to be in front of everybody. And Pastor and I are called to pioneer things, and we're always going out, and people are thinking we're nuts. Why can't we just be normal? Because we're not called to be normal. Yay. You're not called to be normal either, just so you know. And the further we go into the last days, the less you're going to look like the world. You shouldn't look like the world anyway. That's the other thing to stand. You're going to raise your children different. You're going to talk different. Your marriages are going to be different. You're not going to be anything like the world. And if you're starting to act and talk like the world, you need to catch yourself. Does God say I should speak like that about my husband? Does God say I should speak like that about my children, my church, whatever it is? My mother, I love my mom, you know? But, like, what is it that God's telling? That's a place of standing. I'm standing on the truth. I'm standing on the truth that when someone wants to gossip with me, I'm not gossiping because the Bible says not to do that. When someone tells me it's okay, you don't have to forgive that person, you should go give it right back to them. You're standing and saying, no, I'm going to actually pray for them. People are like, what's wrong with you? The Bible tells me to pray for my enemies, bless them who persecute me. See, that's standing. There's a cost to standing. I don't think I'm there yet, but Esther. So then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night and day. Again, the army. The army had a plan. She had a plan to tell those around her, you fast for me, I'm going to go on the front lines. Do you see? It's all part. But everybody had to stand and do their part. It says, my maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. How many of you went to church during Corona? Everybody here. We could have been arrested. It was against the law. But we stood our ground. And what happened? The law started to break. Right? The truth started to come out because we stood. It says, and I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Can I tell you something? During Corona, we had an elder board meeting, and we said, if Pastor David gets arrested, who's preaching next? When that person gets arrested, who's preaching next? When that person, we didn't have to think about dying. I don't think anybody was going to kill us for staying open, but who knows? But that's the whole thing. But we go do some things, we're like, I mean, we literally have these conversations. If I get arrested for doing this, who's going to preach next? Who's taking up the next? Who's doing it? Because we're not stopping. So Esther said, if I perish, I perish, but at least I tried. We have to stand in that place. If I perish, I perish. If I'm hated by the whole world because I'm standing for the gospel, so be it. So be it. If I lose all my friends because I'm standing for the gospel, so be it. What is better, to have the friends that aren't really friends or to stand for the one who created you, the one who someday you're going to answer before? The Bible even says if you don't hate your mother, father, brother, sister, and your children, then you don't really love the Lord. And it doesn't mean to hate them. It means to say, I don't desire them over my Heavenly Father. It says, and I wrote that down, it's in Matthew. I'll come to that in a second. Oh, it's in Luke. Luke 14:26. In Luke, and I shared this Sunday night too. Luke 14:26. It says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, in his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And the meaning behind that is, you got to be willing to forsake it all for him. That's it. You got to be willing. I think about missionaries that go overseas. They forsake everything for the kingdom. Think about Stephen, who was full of the Holy Ghost and stoned. And even at the end, he looked up and said, Father, forgive them. All he wanted to do was share the gospel. We don't understand truly what it means to be sold out like that. But that's standing in that place and saying, no matter what happens to me, I'm standing for the gospel. And you're not alone anyway, because the Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you. All you have to do is trust in the Holy Spirit. So what keeps you from standing? Fear. Fear is the biggest thing that will keep you from standing. And I want to tell you something, and I don't think we talk about it enough. Fear is a spirit. And anywhere in the Bible where there was fear, the Lord rebuked it. He rebuked fear in Jesus' name and told it to go. So when you start to feel fearful, you should rebuke it in Jesus' name. You shouldn't entertain it. You shouldn't say, you know, you might go to a counselor and it's like, well, let's talk about why you have this fear. No, I don't need to talk about why I have this fear. I'm rebuking it in Jesus' name. I've already decided this summer if I see a snake, I'm going to kill it. Just so y'all know, I'm going to be like, not fearful, because we all know I don't like snakes. But I'm like, you know, why am I so afraid? I'm like, I just don't like them. No, I actually do get like a little afraid. If I'm walking around something, I get that little like, oh, how am I going to feel if something jumps out at me? And then sometimes I say to Pastor David, you come do that. I don't want. Actually, the other day, he was like, stand on the steps. You shouldn't entertain my fear. We should rebuke it. So whatever you're fearful of, golly, damn, I'm tongue-tied today. You need to rebuke it. It has to go. There's nothing for you to be afraid of. Nothing. Nothing. You're like, but no, nothing. There's no fear. Perfect love casts out fear, the Bible says. The other thing that will keep you from standing is the fear of displeasing others. Oh, well, I'm going to let them down if I do that. When I move away to go to do what the Lord's told me to do, this really wasn't in their plan. My dad wanted me to go to Princeton. He had things mailed to the house for me to have applications to go to Princeton. He wanted me to be a lawyer. He was convinced that I was going to be a lawyer, a real estate lawyer to be exact. And one day Princeton applications and other things would show up. And I looked at like 7 colleges and I'm like, why do you think I did not have a good SAT score? I was not a Princeton scholar, just so we're all aware. My dad probably thinks I could have went to Harvard. You know, that's my dad. But I was like, I said, Dad, did you have this application mailed to the house? I don't know. I'm like, oh my gosh. I said, I'm not even filling that thing out, you know. And so when I left to do what I was doing, it disappointed my dad. But do you know, like, I don't know. I'm really bad with time. I don't even know how long I've been married. Like, I don't know the year I got married. I'm really bad at those things. Sometime afterwards, long time afterwards, my dad one day said to me, I said, Dad, you know, I disappointed you. I know. You know, I didn't do what you wanted me to do. He says, no, yeah. He said, at the time I was disappointed. He said, but now I know and I see, and I wouldn't want you to do anything else. He knows that I would have been miserable as a lawyer. First of all, it wouldn't work because we all know I couldn't, like, I'd be praying with every single person I was having to prosecute. But, you know, he's like, no, you would have not been happy. And I'm proud of you for what you're doing. Don't understand it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the truth. But he admitted he was disappointed. So even though I disappointed him in the moment, the Lord has always said to me, if you stay steady and you stay stable, people will see that. That's what they will see. So you need to just stand in that place. And when you follow the Holy Ghost will keep you steady. That's the whole thing. You know what will keep you unsteady? Fear. Because fear will cause you to do things to please others. Pleasing others is a roller coaster. Because one minute they're happy with this, then they're not happy with that, and then they want you to change it. But the Holy Ghost, he's stable. And he will not change. Because he's part of the triune. And he says he changes not. God changes not. And the Holy Spirit only speaks what he hears the Father say. So the Father isn't going to make you willy-nilly. Now, you may look willy-nilly to some people. You know, you get married, you buy a house, and then you sell it and you move to Florida. Might look a little willy-nilly to people. But God has a plan and he'll redeem all of that. But you're steady when you follow the Holy Ghost. That makes you steady. So don't worry about displeasing people, because if you worry about displeasing people, if you get ever into fear, you won't stand. You'll be wavered. That's the thing. You will waver. Doubt will cause you to not stand. And what is doubt? Doubt is a lack of faith. So anytime you start doubting, that's a lack of faith. And a lack of faith is sin. So you don't want to be in there. It's going to cause you to not make good decisions. So don't doubt. You know what the Lord spoke to you, and you do it. You may not know the plan. There's been plenty of times the Lord has spoken to us to do things, and I have no idea. Like homeschooling my children, I had no clue what I was doing. I still feel like I'm figuring it out, and my other kid's getting ready to graduate. But the Lord has been faithful. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord told me how to homeschool my children. And a lot of people come to me for advice on how to homeschool their children. But I can tell you, because my friend sitting in here, she homeschools her children. We don't homeschool exactly the same. You know, we work together on some things. We collaborate. But, you know, we don't do everything the same. She doesn't do it better than me, and I don't do it better than her. We're doing exactly what the Lord spoke to us. So I have other friends. They had everything planned out in homeschool. Their kids were going to college, this. And man, I would be like, I am the worst mother because I don't even know what we're doing next year. And my kids didn't take the SATs. But do you know what the Lord reminded me? Did I tell you to have your kids do the SATs? I'm like, no. He's like, what are you worried about? And neither one of my kids need their SATs. Did I tell you to plan all that out? No. Okay, then. You're good. So I followed exactly the plan that the Lord had for my kids. And it was different for both of them. It wasn't even the same for both of my kids. That's standing on what the Lord told me to do. That's standing on what the Holy Spirit, because I could have been moved by other people. I could have been moved by what people wanted me to do, what I saw other people doing. But I said, I'm just going to listen to the Holy Ghost, because these children belong to the Lord. So he already knows the plan of what they need to do. And now my son's graduating a year early, and can I tell you, I promise you 100%, I did not do that on purpose. I don't even know how that all worked out, but the Lord was good. And my son told me that he would graduate school when he was 17. When he was like 8 years old, he knew he was going to be in Bible school by the time he was 17. He already told me that. I'm like, well, I don't really know how that's going to work out. Guess what? The Holy Ghost did. So the Holy Ghost worked it out. I didn't have to work it out. When it all happened, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. God, you're so good. You have to stand on what the Lord is telling you to do. You can't be moved. That's the other reason thing that will keep you out of standing, is you start looking around at what everybody else is doing and you think you got to do it that way. No, you don't. You have to do it the way the Lord called you to do it. And there'll be other people that come along that need your help on those things, but you still let them do it the way the Lord's telling them to do it. A lot of times some of you will call me and say, Pastor Lacey, what do you think? And I say, what is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Because it doesn't matter what I think. What's the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What is the Holy Spirit telling you to do? Identity issues will keep you from standing. I'm just not good enough. I just can't do this. The Lord wants me to go pray with people, but I didn't go to Bible school. I don't talk like Pastor Lacey or Pastor David. They're like all fiery and I'm just very quiet. Yeah, well, we need people that are very quiet. Not everybody has to be big loud mouths like us, you know? But I was hoping somebody would laugh. Good grief. But your lack of identity, not knowing who you are in Christ, will keep you from standing in the place that God's called you, because you'll talk yourself out of it. But what is the Lord telling you? He's not telling you to do it in your own strength. He's saying stand on his word, stand on his truth, what he is speaking to you. What are we standing for? We're standing for truth. God's word is truth. You have all the truth you have need of right here. If tomorrow all the books in the world were burned, every great preacher's preaching sermons were completely gone. Everything was completely gone. It doesn't really matter, because the truth is all you have. And when you meditate on the word, even if your Bible got taken away, you'd still have it on the inside of you, because you put it deep on the inside of you. You meditated. He whose mind is on the word is steadfast. Nope, I just totally butchered that, but it's okay. I took two scriptures and put them together. Who whose mind is stayed is in perfect peace, so you can be in perfect peace. I was watching something on Instagram the other day. The guy was in China, and he said that this lady in one of his Bible studies, they were passing out Bibles. They only had a few, and she says, "Oh, I don't need that. I'll give it to somebody else." And then she started quoting. They were reading in 1 Peter, and he says, "I can read it." And he says, "You don't have a Bible." She just read the whole thing. He said, what? And she said, yeah, because we never know if we're going to have one. So when she ever had a Bible, she memorized all chapters. I can't even memorize a scripture. I'm just like a verse, I'm just saying. But see, she had a hunger. And she was like, doesn't matter, I'm going to know this word. She didn't worry about memorizing whatever else people memorize. The table we had to do. What was that? Periodic table. Yeah, see, that's why we don't need to memorize it, because that's not going to help us. But the word of God will. So focus on meditating and memorizing scripture. But she decided that she was going to stand. She was going to stand, and she was going to memorize those scriptures, and anywhere she went, she would have that word hidden in her heart. Amen? So we're standing on God's truth. In 1 John 5, (clears throat) 14, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, where do you find out about what his will is? In the word of God. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, do you know that he hears you? See, this will help you stand if you know he hears me. I'm not just a peon. I'm a daughter. And I'm going boldly into the throne room and he hears me. I know, we know that if he hears me, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked, we will have the petitions that we have asked of him. And down in verse 20, it says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we, who? Me. I am in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And then it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. Idols are anything that you put above God. People want to think about idols as being like those little things you see in other countries. No, an idol can be your family. An idol can be your children. An idol can be your job. An idol can be a car, whatever you want it to be. But if it's above the Lord, you're not supposed to keep it. But it says that you are in him. So there's no reason to have to defend God's truth. When you're standing, you're just standing on the word. The word is solid. The word is true. It changes not because God changes not. So when you're like, I don't know how to defend. You don't have to defend the word. You just speak the word. The Bible says the word does not return void. The Bible says the word has the power to break the stony places. So when you're like, that person doesn't really want to receive me, it doesn't matter. If you speak the word, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Do you notice that it doesn't say lay hands on only believers? It says lay hands on the sick. That's what it says. We get caught up in like, oh, we're just supposed to lay hands in church. No. I've heard testimonies one time about a guy, he went to a coffee shop and he saw a guy with a knee brace and something compelled him to want to go pray for the man. So he went over and he said, Can I pray for your knee? The guy said, okay. So he prays for the guy's knee. The guy's like, wow, it feels better. He opens his eyes. Guess what? No knee brace. Guy never had a knee brace. That was the Holy Spirit showing him right where to go. Are we open and are we willing to stand on the word? Because the word says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I venture to say you probably see a lot of healings when you pray for people that aren't even believers because they're so moved by it. They receive just like that. They're not overthinking it, right? So you go and you pray for them and see what happens. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Cast out demons and they shall flee. Something starts to manifest in front of you, why would you be afraid? Because I'm going to stand on the word that says, that thing can't have place here. I'm going to cast that thing out. In Jesus' name, it's going to go. It's not going to have any place here. Whether the person takes it back or not, that's not on you. But when you're around, it has to go. That's standing. That's standing on the word. That's standing on what God has called you to do. There's a cost to standing. There, and if you were here Sunday night, I talked about the cost of being a disciple. That's the cost of standing. It may cost you your friends. It may cost you your family members. It may cost you your reputation, whatever. But in Matthew 19:29, it says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. I'm inheriting eternal life. I don't know about you because I'm not worried about whatever gets left behind. Not my problem. People are going to talk about you. Let them talk. Doesn't matter. You let them talk, but I'm going to tell you something. When you stand for the truth and you live your life righteous unto God, you're the first person people call in a crisis. I can tell you 100%. You're not the first person everybody invites you to parties. You're not the first person everybody asks you to go on vacation. You don't want to go on vacation with them anyway. But you will be the first person people call during a crisis because they know who's steady. Why are you steady? It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the Holy Ghost. You standing with the Holy Ghost, you standing for what God's called you to do, you'll have a time to witness. Don't worry. And it says in Matthew 24:9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Oh, joy. And then many will be offended. Have you offended people lately with your views? Probably, with your truth. Will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness, hello, we're in lawlessness right now. If you think we are not in lawlessness, you're believing a lie. It is lawlessness right now. There is no right or wrong. Anything goes. There's perversion abounding for our children, trying to come after our children. That is lawlessness. Did you ever think we would be in a time and in an hour where they would let people that are trying to sexualize your children start coming into your libraries, start reading to your children in kindergarten about sexually grooming them and their preferences? This is happening right now, and you cannot close your eyes to it and say it's not happening. It's time for us to stand up and say, enemy, you will not have our children. You will not have this next generation. That's the place we need to stand in. You need to start declaring these things. Then you need to say, where do I need to go to start standing against this? The time of just sitting in your house and deciding to do nothing, that's gone. It never was there. We need to be on the streets. We need to be at school board meetings. We need to be places when people like Kirk Cameron and some other people have come to these libraries and they've tried to shut them out because they're bringing the word of God, and people show up. I just saw in Pittsburgh, the whole Pride parade got completely canceled because of the outrage. So why are we just sitting around letting it take place all around? Well, we can't do anything. Nobody's going to listen to us. We live in a very liberal area. It doesn't matter. Because it's not us that's going to change it. It's God that's going to change it. So as we cry out to him, as we go and speak and say, this is not okay. Instead of just avoiding the places, why aren't we taking a stand for where we live? And you're like, well, that's called Christian nationalism. First of all, I don't even understand that word. Second of all, if you read the Bible, Paul appealed to what? His Roman citizenship. We have rights in this country. And we have the right to stand. And if you listen to anybody that has come from a different country, they will tell you, Americans need to stand. Americans need to stand for their right for the gospel. Americans need to write for what their constitution says they can do, which is stand and have freedom of speech, because they will lose it if they don't stand for it. So that's why we need to stand. We need to stand because I want my grandchildren to be able to go to church anytime they want to. I want my grandchildren to be able to openly and freely worship God. I want our pastors to keep continuing to preach against the sin in this nation and not be arrested. By the way, that's happening in Canada. You may think it can't happen, but it's happening in Canada. You cannot speak out openly against homosexuality in Canada. You cannot speak out openly against those things. No, you will be arrested. And they arrested pastors for shutting down their churches. In America, we are protected from that. But if we decide to just start sitting home and not standing up to these things, it's going to be even more rampant. It's time for us to stand. That's the thing. It's time for us to stand. It's time to stand against the perversion of what is happening in this nation. I get fired up. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The love of many are growing cold. You need to make a decision. My love for the Lord will be fire, red hot, and I am standing in this place. But he who endures to the end. Notice how it says endures to the end. Endures means you're going to have to press in. Endures means you're going to have to stand in places that you don't feel like standing in. Endures means you're going to have to do things you might not feel like doing. That's enduring. That's pushing through. It's not saying he that just skips along to the end. No, it says endures. People that preach this message like everything's going to be perfect. No, everything is not going to be perfect. I hate to tell you that. But you can walk in peace through everything. You can walk knowing what the Lord is doing. Is it all going to be perfect? No, because there's tribulation, there's persecution. He who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So are you going to endure to the end? Are you going to press forward to the end? Are you going to stay on fire and stand in your rightful place that God has given you? And if God has given you that place to stand, and no one can take it from you, not the enemy, not sickness, not any tactic that he could throw at you, he cannot take your place unless you relinquish it. Unless you decide, I'm not going to mother my children anymore. I'm not really going to be a wife to my husband. I've just decided to give up. No. You got to say, you know what? This is my marriage. I'm fighting for it. I'm going to declare right now that my marriage is going to be the marriage that God created it to be. I am one flesh with my husband. Even when he annoys me, I love him because God created him that way. I love you. You never annoy me, baby. But that was a lie. I shouldn't lie in church. I'm sorry. Even when you annoy me, I really love you. But, you know, you've got to decide to stand. Listen, anytime I feel that temptation, like, why is he like that? I'm so sorry that you're here tonight. I'm so sorry. But I decide right then, does God have these thoughts towards my husband? No. See, I want you to know I fight. Okay. that when I have those thoughts, I say, does God speak like that about my husband? Because I'm sorry, women, we are more intuitive than men. It just is the way it is. So sometimes we're like, did he just say that? Like, oh my gosh, he is not reading that situation correctly at all. And people are like, oh, he said, and I'm like, And then I'm like, why? And I'm, no. Lord, do you speak about him that way? And the Lord's like, no. And I'm like, then I shouldn't be thinking that way. But, so I can stand in that place and know right away, that's my flesh, that's pride, thinking I know it. Or I can go over here and I can be like, ugh. Why does he do that? Why can't he just do this? Blah, 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 blah. That's how you start entertaining it. And then you got to work your whole way out of that part to get back over here to be like, yeah, sorry, God doesn't talk about him that way. See? But I'm standing for my marriage. Because when you get over to here, this is when you start to check out of your marriage. This becomes temptation right here. So then the next thing that happens a little bit further away and a little bit further away. And then you're going to pray that the Holy Spirit comes by and smacks you out of it. Or you just keep denying what you're feeling. You keep making excuses. Oh, but you don't understand how he makes me feel. He doesn't understand me. He doesn't get me. Don't look at me like y'all never said anything like that, because I know you all have, because we're women. And we just think that way. But then I go, God, the Lord actually told me on Pastor David's in my first date. He said, that's the man you prayed for. And I've shared this plenty of times. I was living one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. And I'm like, I don't even know if I've been praying for a man. Have I been praying for a man? I like don't remember, but I mean, the Lord must know it was a desire in my heart. And I ran as hard as I could away from that man because he scared me, because he was so nice. And I never dated a nice guy, and he scared me. And then he called my mother. And my mother told me I needed to let someone love me. And that's the only time my mother's ever really said things like that to me. But I knew, but the Lord had already spoken it to me. But I ran. Because I didn't feel good enough. I wasn't good enough for that man. I didn't deserve a man like that. He didn't need me for anything. He didn't need me to take care of him. He wanted to take care of me. That was weird and made me extremely uncomfortable. And he wrote me letters for 2 weeks. Your friend always, David. I'm like, this guy is so annoying. Oh my gosh. What is wrong with him? He's such a dork. Good grief. So glad I married you, dork. And then he actually asked me, like, are we boyfriend girlfriend? Now, girls, if we were 12, that would have been okay. But we were like 22. I don't even know how old we were. I'm like, what? I told you he was a dork. But it was really sweet. He goes, I got to know. I just got to know. Like, do you like want me to write a letter to me and I'll like pass it back to you? Sorry, total side note. Love you. I don't know where I was going with that, but anyway, you got to stand. So when I get annoyed or want to check out emotionally in my marriage, I go, Lord, you sent that man to me. You said, that's my husband. You said, that's the man I've prayed for. So you didn't make a mistake. When I feel like, oh, he doesn't get me. Look, I don't even get my own self sometimes. Like, if we're all really honest with each other about being a woman, sometimes we don't even understand ourselves. Then I'm like, well, how in the world? We're so opposite. And then I go, wait, the Lord said to me, that's the man you've prayed for. So that's my man. He's mine. Nobody else's. He's mine. So I know that the Lord has a plan for us. I know that the Lord has a plan for us to be married. So I start standing on that truth. The thing that will pull you out of standing on that truth is your feelings and your emotions. Emotions are okay, but they're not what's meant to move you. They're not meant to be what helps you stand. You stand because of what God has spoken to you. When God speaks to you something about your children, I know my son has a gift on his life to make money. There's no question. He was like 6 or 7 years old or younger, had an egg business. My boy is making money, getting prepay from people and all kinds of stuff, you know? I'm like, he makes me really uncomfortable sometimes. But you know what? God said, that's what I have for him. So I stand on that. So I don't let him pull away from it. When he gets tired and like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I say, oh, no, no. God has a plan for you. And you know what that plan is, and you're going to walk in it. Because I stand with him. Because you have to stand with your children. Because they want to give up sometimes. So this is a great thing, moms. You get to stand with everybody. You get to stand with your husband. When he starts to feel like, oh, I can't do this anymore, you say, no, God has a call on your life. An enemy is not going to take you out of your calling, and you're going to walk in what God has for you, and God has the provision for all the things that he's spoken to you. No, I won't let you speak like that. Yeah, I speak to my husband like that. He speaks to me like that because we've decided we're standing for what the Lord has told us to do. Neither one of us are giving up. We're not giving up. So when you stand, you're standing for your husband, you're standing for your children, you're standing for your family. I'm standing for my whole family to be saved in Jesus' name. And I know a lot of you are. Don't let the enemy tell you that that can't happen. Your whole household will be saved in Jesus' name. Amen? You stand on that. No matter what it looks like, no matter what kind of heathen your family is, you stand on it. So what's the reward of standing? The reward of standing is hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? The reward is standing and saying, and God, it says, God takes pleasure in those who walk in faith. It actually doesn't say that, just kidding. It says, God, oh man, I didn't write it down. It says, God takes no pleasure in him that turns back from faith. So I say, that must mean that God takes pleasure in him who is faithful and walks in faith. So when you stand, you're standing in faith. That's what you're standing in. You're standing in faith. When your child gets sick and you watch your daughter's eyes go in separate directions and she can't walk, I'm not standing on what I'm seeing. I'm standing on what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that she's healed. So that attack and that stroke that happened to her, it had to cease. That spot on her brain, it had to go. It took 5 years for it to go, but guess what? It's gone. That protein in her body, it had to go. When I went back that second time and they said there's a protein in her body, I said, nope, that can't be there. We spoke to that. Guess what? You don't lose proteins in your blood, but my daughter did, because it's not going to stand. It can't stand against what the Word of God says. So when you stand, you're standing in faith. In Matthew 25:23, it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. As you are faithful over the little things, he's going to give you more. But it takes standing over those little things to be able to be entrusted with more. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Tonight you can enter into the joy of the Lord. Because none of this is heavy. Because if you feel it stirring on the inside, remember what I said the Lord said to you. You were created to stand. See, the reward is hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. But the reward is also having the fulfillment. I'm walking in what God has called me to walk in. Being a mother, God called you to walk in that. Being a wife, God called you to walk in that. Being a daughter of the Most High God, he's called you to walk in that. He's called you to speak up for truth. He's called you to expose lies. That's what the Word says. So as you stand in faith, you feel that fulfillment. This is what I was called to do. You may have a job. I'm not talking about your job. I'm talking about what you were called to do. You will be fulfilled when you walk and you stand in truth and you stand in faith, because that's what God's told you to do. If you don't think so, how many of you have ever had a time where you're believing for something and you just stand on the word and you see it come to pass and you're like, yes, right? That feels much better than the million-dollar deal you got. There's something inside of there that's like, this is what I was called to do. When you pray for someone and you see them healed, you're like, yes, that's better than $1 million in your bank account. Whatever it might be, material things can't fulfill you. You can get your body to the place that you think it's supposed to be, that you're going to be like, I look so perfect. First of all, you're a woman, and you're never going to think you look perfect, because we just never seem to. But you can try all of that. It won't be any fulfillment, because you'll think, well, I got to fix this. Now I got to fix this, because you're looking on the outward. God looks at your heart. You're already beautiful just the way you are. But as you walk in faith, man, talk about fulfillment. People are chasing fulfillment from other things. You will only truly have fulfillment when you stand on the word of God and you do what he's called you to do. That will give you the fulfillment that you're looking for. Your generations will be blessed as you stand. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, excuse me, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also. He was talking to Timothy, but he said, I saw it in your grandmother, and I see it in you. Some of you are grandmothers. Your children, people are going to see faith because of you, because of what you did. That's what they're going to see in your grandchildren. So when you stand in faith, you're affecting your generations. The generations are going to see it. They're going to be like, your grandmother must have been a believer. Somebody was a believer in your family. I was listening to Jonathan Shuttlesworth the other day, and he was talking about they started doing research about their family, and they had never had a minister in the family like until his grandfather. But they went back all the way to like the 1600s, and they were in England. They found this castle, and there was this tithe barn. And his great-grandfather, who never would step foot in a church, tithed. And one time the minister came to the house and said, you're like one of the most faithful, biggest givers, but you never come. He goes, no, I just send my tithe, because it had been passed down through the generations. And I was thinking about that. You doing even the smallest things can make an impact. Even though that man wasn't serving the Lord, his whole family tithed and was blessed because they kept tithing. They didn't even know why they were tithing. They just knew it, but they wouldn't go to a church. You can have what you do with your children. I'm telling you, my grandmother reading that Bible to me, I always got my Bible out. She sang songs. She took us to camp, which I didn't really love because there were snakes at camp in the water, and I didn't get in the water. But I didn't like camp anyway because I just don't like roughing it. But my grandmother was faithful to take us, and we went on the weekends. It was my grandmother that did all those things. She did all those things. I don't send my kids to camp because of my grandmother. But anyway, like, it was a good thing. But I do read Bible stories to my kids. Other people go to camp. So you're going to affect the generations. Thank you. Now, this is what the Lord gave me a word for you. When I was praying earlier. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. This is what the Lord said. You're going to a new level. As you make a decision to be completely in, you are going to see multiplication in every area. Health, wealth, salvations, revival in the land, revival in your home. So don't back down. We are on the brink of the greatest revival. But it takes enduring, and not just enduring, but a resolve to press in. The old way of just getting by is not going to work. You must hunger for God and nothing else. The time has come, like the woman at the well. You've been set free. All old broken things are gone tonight in Jesus' name. Freedom is here. Lies that have come in that we have to compete with man or any of those things or compete with other women, we don't. We're all children of God. Don't take your eyes off me, says the Lord. Come back to the truth and stand. This may seem radical for some, but you were designed to stand. You were called to fight. You are a daughter of the Most High. You are an ambassador for your daddy. And I'm believing tonight that fearful places will be broken off in Jesus' name, that you're going to walk out of here free. So let's just close our eyes and lift our hands all over this place. You can just put some instrumental music on. We're going to do some altar time here in a second too. But if you're like, tonight, phew, that was a lot Pastor Lacey preached. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because the word doesn't return void. And this is what you're going to make a resolve tonight. Just like on Sunday night, we decided, it doesn't matter the cost, I'm all in, Lord. What you're deciding tonight is, Lord, it doesn't matter the cost, I'm going to stand for the truth. I'm going to buy the truth and sell it not. I'm standing on your word and I'm not backing down. Things that have tried to hold me back, places I've been complacent, where I've been just satisfied with enough, where I've said, I don't really want to get involved, but yet you were telling me to get involved. I repent of it right now in Jesus' name. Because, Lord, I'm not going to stand before your throne one day and you say, why? Why didn't you stand for that? Why did you allow that? No, I'm standing, Lord, wherever you've called me to stand. I'm going to speak when you tell me to speak. I'm going to pray when you tell me to pray. I'm going to get up and press in like I've never pressed in before, because I will see your glory in this place. I will see revival in this land. I will not see my generation taken by the enemy. I will not let lies abound in this world, because I know the truth, and I will shout it from the rooftops if that's what you ask me to do. So Lord, right now I resolve and I say right now, I declare that I will stand and I will endure to the end. It doesn't matter the cost, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that you are with me right now. I thank you, Lord, that you are breaking off old thought patterns that tell me I'm not good enough, that tell me I can't stand. I rebuke fear right now in Jesus' name. It cannot stay. Any doubt that I have, I rebuke that in Jesus' name, and I'll make a decision right now. If your word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. You tell me to go into all the world, I'm going soul winning. You tell me to go to a Board of Ed meeting and stand up against transgender, I'm doing it, Lord, because you created male and female. I'm going to stand on your word. Whatever it is that you're calling me to, I'm going to do it. And I will see this generation shaken for you. I will be a part of it. I will not be a silent bystander. I will be the warrior that you've called me to be. I will be the woman of God that you've called me to be. I will stand for my marriage. When the world says, oh, there's no hope, I say yes, because God create. I have covenant with the Lord. I will stand for my children and say I will not allow perversion to touch them in Jesus' name. I will stand. I will stand for being the woman that you've created me to be. And I will not let the enemy steal my identity. Thank you, Facebook, for joining. We're going to cut that off. We're going to go to, I forget the first anointing, follow me, but I want you to stay in that place of worship. Don't listen to me. I'm just directing. Because I'm